You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Ears Up In Depth. Jeremy and Jason here to bring you the hottest Disney news. I don't know what's going on. Before the show, we were just reminiscing about the, oh my gosh, I was just in there, the lights were low, kid.
Oh my gosh.
And they now deleted Disney video. I still can't believe they deleted that thing, man. You know, like, no matter how, I don't know, how much you're... promotion backfired or how much heat you get on social, like, as a big company, I don't think you delete that.
I think you got to stand behind it.
I think it's, you,
like,
got to stand
a bad
behind
tweet.
It
you can't delete it, you got to stand behind it.
That's right You edited that video, you have to rewatch it forever.
Yeah. Someone came up with that. The thing is, just, I was like, what still bothers me about it is, like, there was probably like a rough draft. You know, like, it got nixed, and then so we got the best version of that.
Well, for sure it was written and planned out, and I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that kid was just left up to his own devices to, like, be, I don't know. But someone picked him for the thing and said, you know, the thing that you do on the show, I want you to do it here now, because that'll be great.
Do you think there were outtakes? Like, were they like, no, you're not shocked enough by the lights being low. Give it more.
That's right.
Take it again from the top.
Yeah, we need a bigger. Example of your love for interior illumination. We need that very much. Thank you. Please try again.
I hope that happened.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Welcome back, everybody. We have a few stories to get through. Some drama. I love when drama. There's Disney Parks drama all the time. There's also Disney Company drama, and we'll get into that a little bit.
Oh my word!
As well, yeah, pretty exciting stuff, man. I thought about covering, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi drama, kerfuffle, dust up that's been going on Twitter. But, I don't know. I don't want to. I just don't want to. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't even know what it is.
It's, there's a character in there, she's like the third sister. She's like a Sith sister or whatever. It's a whole Star Wars thing. I would explain it to you, but then I would have to know exactly what it is, and I don't. And she's a black lady, and she's not the best actress, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions. And she's getting a lot of heat for that. But there are some people, inevitably, that sort of jump into her DMs with a lot of racism. Because that's the internet. That's what happens.
Okay. And then, then Disney, like, came out and supported her or something like that.
Ewan McGregor posted a video and all this kind of stuff. And it's cool, and I love that they're doing that. But what's happening is, like, the Disney fans who don't like her are conflating Disney's stand against the racist messages she's getting with, hey, everybody needs to like this. So there's a lot of blowback on social about, like, oh, well, we can't just say we don't like something. It has to be because she's black. And it's like, well, no, they're not talking to you. If you're not DMing this lady and saying racist things to her, they're not talking to you. You cannot like something. It's okay. Everybody is entitled to not like a show. It's fine.
Well, it's narcissism. It's like, that's about me.
Right.
You said something. It must be about me.
Yeah.
That's.
So I didn't really want to get into it too much because it's weird and I don't like it. And it's kind of dominating the news sphere. But
God, I didn't even realize. I mean, I had heard about it now that you mention it, but I didn't.
Well, the show sort of getting dragged a little bit because it's not sticking with the timeline, the Star Wars timeline. Like, it sort of contradicts A New Hope, like Star Wars, the first one that came out, which is, like, right before this. So this sort of nestled right before that, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And they're, like, crossing the timeline, and now they're making, like, Darth Vader not remember things, or Obi-Wan Kenobi not remembering things, and it's this whole thing. They're muddying the waters of like what their timeline is.
I'm not sure it's what weird. I think about that. As an outsider who doesn't care about Star Wars, I'm like, can you guys all shut up? Who cares? Like, just watch the show. But at the same point, then I try to think about like something that I really like. Yeah. And that happened, you know, like if the Jurassic World series has totally ruined that franchise. But
it really has, honestly.
What?
I said it really has. You're right.
Oh, it's yeah. horrible. I don't. What were they doing?
I don't know.
But if there has been something that took that out of order, I'd probably be really upset.
Well, and it's like the iconic moments of A New Hope, of the first Star Wars. The iconic moments in that are being ruined by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Not ruined, because it's still just a movie, but it's a movie that millions of people fell in love with, and it turns people onto the franchise. And so, on the one hand, you have Princess Leia reaching out to Obi-Wan Kenobi through R2-D2, saying, I need your help, we need your help, whatever. But then in Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan has a direct line to Alderaan, to Leia's father, and it's like this whole, like, why couldn't she just call the plans over? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, there's a lot of things in there. And then it's like, did Obi-Wan really know that Darth Vader was alive? Yes, he did. No, he didn't. It's a whole thing, dude. He knew, in the Phantom Menace, I guess, like the third prequel, he knew that Darth Vader was Anakin Skywalker. But now suddenly in Obi-Wan Kenobi, he didn't know. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what's going on? What's happening? I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that is, but I do think that what would be nice is, like, Disney, if you're going to do something, can you at least just do it well? Like, how about that?
And there was an interview with, I think, one of the writers who said that they didn't know that Obi-Wan didn't know that Vader was alive or something like that. Like, this person learned about a crucial part of the lore in the middle of writing the script. So they clearly have no concept of what's going on. They don't have a concept of the lore and of the story. And I don't understand why Disney would be all about, I guess it's poor stewardship.
Yes, it's exactly what it is.
Of, you know, taking that route rather than, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, why is that person writing on this? Like, that'd be like me writing it. Like, here, Eddie, let's see here. We're going to take an Ewok. We're going to send him over there.
We're going to make him fly. We're going to make him an android, or we're going to make him fly.
Yeah, now give me one of those big tractor looking things that walks around. Let's go get one of those in there. Like, what? You can't do that. You've got to at least protect the integrity
of the story. Protect the integrity of the story. Because if you're going to get people in later generations going back and watching all this content, it's going to be like, well, what is this? What is going on? This guy said one thing and he did another thing. How come Princess Leia doesn't remember Obi-Wan helping her? And that little kid's a bad actress. The whole thing is just, yeah. I mean, I still want to watch it, but I'll finish it.
Well, in a way, it's like, it's almost a self-indictment of what they're putting on Disney Plus is inconsequential, because it's like, well, it's just Disney Plus TV. Like, who cares? You know, like, they're almost like not, they're treating it like it's not as important.
It's weird because it's Ewan McGregor, though. And, like, he was a great Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm glad that he's executive producing this.
Oh, he's one of the best.
He's back. Right. And, you know, I just think that there would be more care to it for me. And maybe they don't. Maybe they value storytelling over the timeline. And that's, you know, either way, it sucks.
The name Ewan shouldn't be spelled that way, I don't think. It looks almost like it's Ewan.
Ewan Kenobi.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's
born
why.
To play this
I
role.
Think we need to figure out a new way to spell that.
I think we do, too. All right, Jared, let's get to some news, huh, buddy? What do you want to do? You want to do some news? Why don't you go first? Just because. I've been talking too much.
Couldn't agree more. At their wedding, they paid to have Mickey Mouse present, but when it came to having food, their money had been spent.
That's a stretch, man. You're stretching
that
it out.
That's the best I could do.
Okay. All right.
So, do you know about, like, this AITA?
AI, no. Oh, yes, on Reddit. Am I the beep? Oh, yeah.
Am I the a-hole? Can I say a-hole on the show?
You can say that, yeah.
Okay, because that's what it stands for, M-I-D. Okay.
All right.
Well, this couple goes on Reddit, and they make a post to ask if they are the a-holes in a certain situation, okay?
Okay.
And here's what they posted. Let's call it Aita. Aita!
Yep, let's Aita. Do that.
Aita for not having catering at my wedding? Okay, here we go. My F, 28, female 28, and my fiance, male 30, just got married 2 months ago, and we had our dream wedding. Everything was perfect, which we're going to get into because it wasn't. Everything was perfect, and I mean everything. My parents and his parents helped us pay for a great chunk of the wedding so we would be debt-free, and we are so eternally grateful. The issue arose about a month and a half ago when my aunt started posting on Facebook about how disappointed she was with the whole ordeal, and a few guests sided with her.
First of all, whose aunt goes on Facebook and just basically starts like sub-posting about her niece or whatever? What a twisted family. This must be from the Joker side of the family.
I like this aunt, though. She knows what's up, okay? Okay, a little background. My fiance and I are huge Disney fans, and we travel to Disney, blah, blah, blah. We travel, blah. Disney is such an important part of us. It's also part of our marriage. Okay, fine, blah, blah. The issue was with our decision to not offer catering services or bar services at our wedding due to routing that money towards having Minnie and Mickey make an appearance at our special day.
It's terrible.
The cost to have both Minnie and Mickey for a good chunk of time, 30 minutes.
It's a good chunk of time. I mean, I guess it was
almost exactly what our parents allotted for the catering budget. The entire catering budget is worth 30 minutes of that stuffed mouse.
Catering budget. Okay. That's wow. Okay.
So we schedule an appearance during our first dance and our wedding photos. Forgoing served food, in parentheses, though there were plenty of facilities at the venue where people could eat. My parents were still very supportive of us, but everyone else is being passive-aggressive. Am I the a-hole? And then comes back with an edit. To those asking if the guests were warned, we clearly outlined in the invitations there was food available at the venue. We didn't exactly spell out every restaurant's menu, but it was certainly mentioned. There were also vending machines available throughout.
I mean, saying that there's food at the venue to me means you're going to be served food. That is the social contract you enter into when you RSVP yes to a wedding.
Right.
That you, the expectation is food and drink.
Finally, she adds, for everyone saying that it's too much for 30 minutes, I want to clarify that it was two 30-minute sessions on different days, and each session was $2,750. So she blew $5,500 on having them there instead of spending it on food.
$5,500 an hour. And that was worth it to them.
Yeah, they're happy about it.
They don't feel just taken from that. They don't feel like marks. I can't believe that. First of all, how dare you not serve food to your guests? When Taryn and I got married, our idea for a wedding was just throw a big party. And we put a lot of time and effort into catering. It was barbecue, which is not cheap. But it was delicious. We didn't even really get to eat it because we were up like walking around. We got like 50 pies from this local like pie. Like we did the thing, right? It was cool. It was fun. It was great. And everyone loved it. And that's what we wanted everybody to remember. I don't want people to remember that Mickey Mouse came to my wedding. To me, that's very weird. Like if you want that as a thing, then do it for your wedding photos and that's it. But still serve your guests. They're coming here. They're giving you gifts. If you want a wedding gift, the exchange is feed me. Give me a drink or two. Treat me.
This is what I was going to say.
With respect.
There's an unwritten deal between the people getting married, because a wedding is a bit of a self-indulgent affair.
Of course.
Okay, look, we're all there to watch you. In some cases, people travel. You're asking people to take time out of their weekends. They maybe have to get babysitters. It's a costly affair. If you're in the bridal party, you have to buy a dress, buy or rent a tuxedo.
Let me tell we asked people to drive, for at least from where our house was to where we married, 3 hours.
Yeah.
But it was to a resort.
Flown to weddings.
Yeah. It's insane. And so that's why we're like, we need to treat these people with respect. So we had a pre-wedding party. Then we had the wedding. And then in the morning, we had like bagels and Bloody Marys for everybody.
Right. Well, that's the deal. In exchange for all of that and then having to sit there and watch you.
Right. Well, no, you're celebrating.
Paying for me to get drunk and eat.
You're
That's
celebrating with us, Jeremy. You're not just watching.
They broke the contract.
They absolutely did, yes.
And they pointed them to vending machines, like, how absolutely ridiculous. Here's a Kit Kat. Thanks for coming. Now watch me. Because here's the thing. Those guests didn't take pictures. As far as we can tell, they were there for photographs with the bridal party and their wedding photographs. They weren't there to take pictures with. It wasn't like, okay, everybody, you're going to get a chance to have a photograph with Mickey. Well, let me just go back a little bit here because we sort of editorialized. But of course, this went viral on Reddit. And it made its way to Diz Twitter.
Absolutely. Course, I mean, Reddit loves a good story to dunk on Disney adults.
Well, Diz Twitter lost its collective mind. This battle ensued, and some people who considered themselves Disney adults were defending them, and some people are dragging them for that decision. It got so heated, a professor of religion weighed in with her own thread that also went viral. Jodi Eichler-Levine is a professor at Lehigh University who is currently writing a book about Disney and religion.
I want to get her on the show. That sounds absolutely fascinating.
I have a feeling she's got nothing going on.
She's here writing mini threads on Twitter.
Yeah, she's writing a book. She's like a professor, so she's got the next 3 months free, as we know. But yeah, she'll come on. She says, well, now she's not going to come on the show because I just insulted her. There goes that guest.
Yeah, thanks, Jer.
Well, you can edit it out in post.
Sure, I could.
Professor Levine says, I'm a religion studies professor researching Disney, and I'm here to tell you why to stop pathologizing Disney adults. So I'm not going to read the whole thread, but I have some excerpts from it. Right. Many of the Disney fans I have observed in person and online find immense meaning in the parks. People don't just get married at Disney. They mourn lost relatives there. They go to Disney to celebrate surviving cancer. They go there for one last trip before they die. Religion is also a way of making meaning in the world through stories and rituals. Disney owns our stories. For some people, both those who have traditional religion and those who don't, the promise of magic at Disney and the feelings they get there are powerful. I've seen people cry at fireworks many times.
Yeah.
I've cried at fireworks because they're so bad. Mostly harmonious.
Oh, man.
Now, she does admit this couple left their guests hungry, and that was an unwise and lacked in hospitality, which also, if you are so into Disney, isn't hospitality something that you value? Like,
yeah, it's
taking
one of your
care
keys.
Of your guests?
Yeah.
So she says, stop pathologizing other people's joy. And so people are saying, you know, and now they're being bullied for liking Disney. But here's the thing. We didn't invite ourselves into this debate. So you cannot call us bullies. We wouldn't know about this, but for the fact that they posted it. They sought validation by publishing an account of their wedding on Reddit, asking the question if they were a-holes. Mm-hmm. The problem is they look like they're getting bullied. They just don't like the answer, which right. seems to be, yeah, you are.
Yeah. What would you have done if you went to a relative's wedding? You read on the invitation, there's food at the venue, and you interpreted that to mean that you were getting fed. And you show up, and then you go, where's the cocktail hour? When do we eat? I didn't note that I'm a vegetarian. Where on the RSVP? I don't understand. Oh, I'm sorry. There's actually no food, but there's, you know, Wetzel's pretzels down the thing if you want to go. What would you do? Would you leave? Would you stay?
I'm gonna watch the ceremony, of course, and then I'm gonna be like, all right, you guys, there's a bar down the street, who's going? We're getting tanked. And we're gonna talk trash about these two. And then Aunt Jeremy is gonna go home and post it on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that, like, the dance and the rest of the evening, the reception, I can't imagine that was very populous.
Are you telling me they paid for a DJ? No way.
I don't know. I don't know how the Disney weddings go. I don't know. Is it just the ceremony and that was it? To me, that doesn't seem like a dream wedding. I don't know. I mean, I get loving Disney so much, Disney World so much, that you want to get married there. I totally understand that. And, you know, but to sort of like put Disneyland or Disney World over your connection with your family, that's where you lose me. I mean, Disney adults, I don't know. I think that term is sort of like played out. It doesn't really mean anything. It just means, like, what does it mean, right? You're just a fan of a Disney park, okay, and you're an adult, you don't have kids, and you go to the park. That's not necessarily, obviously, bad, but it's when you're like a fan, a fanatic like that, I think that's a little, I think there's something wrong. That I don't think that's correct. You're foregoing actual relationship with people, and you're making your family second to a corporation, and I don't think that's right.
Right. And this isn't a characteristic of being a Disney adult. Like, I can see wanting a Disney themed wedding or having touches of Disney at your wedding. This is incredibly self-indulgent, narcissistic behavior. Like, come here. Don't expect me to give you any refreshments, but watch me exchange these vows. And we're not going to say thank you in any way or even make your time here more comfortable by offering you some refreshment. And I also don't understand how they can go on and claim in the first paragraph everything was perfect. Clearly, these people are deluded. They have no idea what's going on. They still think it was perfect. How can you say a wedding with no food or drinks is perfect? People have weighed in. Someone pointed out that they broke a social contract. Sorry. I'm reading the wrong tweet.
How dare you?
At Warren is Dead says, I firmly believe that these Disney adults – or that these adults should do whatever makes them happy. And if Disney is that, great. But what makes me happy is making fun of Disney adults, and I will fight for that right, which I loved. Someone else said, at some point, society is going to have to reckon with millennials having pseudo-childhoods that essentially extended into their 30s. This is another take I like. But finally, Key Lime Piper summed it up perfectly for me, saying we aren't shaming them for liking Disney. We're shaming them for liking Disney, as you said, Jason, more than their family and friends.
Right.
Would you be surprised if your wedding guests were disappointed there was no food or drink at right. the reception?
Yeah. I mean, and at least they're not even taking responsibility for not being clearer in the invitation.
Right.
You know, they're trying to justify that. Well, there were vending machines everywhere.
Right.
At least take some ownership of that. Like, we should have been more clear, but also is what we did incorrect.
Right. They don't like the answer. Now, right. And now these narcissists are claiming that they're being bullied.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know.
You know what? Sometimes maybe bullying's called for because these people suck.
If you pull your pants down and wiggle it at someone and they don't like it, you can't call that being bullied.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's my first story.
Our friends at the 21st Amendment Brewery welcomed the warmer weather with the release of their brand new hoppy pilsner, Coaster Pils. With a label that depicts a magical portal into an amusement park of flavors, Coaster Pils has a good time around every turn. Coaster Pils is wonderfully clear and bright with a beautiful straw color and tight white bubbles. It has a snappy flavor with crisp lines and wonderful citrus, tropical, hoppy flavors and aromas. Plus, at 5.4% ABV, it'll help you coast right through your day like only the 21st Amendment can. Coaster Pils, as well as our summertime favorite Heller High Watermelon Wheat, are available wherever you find great craft beer. Very good. Very good, Jason. Thank you. You're welcome.
You don't even need me here.
No. I mean, you know, what are you going to do, man, right? Jeremy, you know that I love the Muppets. You know this about me.
Sure.
I'm a big Muppet head. I love the Muppets. Anything the Muppets do, I will watch, as long as Jason Segel isn't part of it.
Agreed. He's terrible.
I'm sort of glad he went away.
Yeah, me too.
I think it was after that Muppet movie, like the revamp of the Muppet movie or something like that, and then it just kind of didn't hear from him anymore.
That movie had a lot of potential, but it just really fell flat for me.
I didn't see it. I didn't see the new one because I don't like the guy. I don't like him. I don't know why. Yeah. His face just looks... I want to bully him.
Yeah, I thought that one was better than the one that came out immediately following with Tina Fey.
I don't like her either. I want to bully her too. So
what's the last Muppet movie you saw? Takes Manhattan?
Yeah. No, I mean, watched like the TV show they did.
Oh, sure.
Which I really liked, and people didn't like it, which sort of started turning me on to the fact that maybe I'm wrong about a lot of opinions.
Yeah, I've thought that before too.
You think so? That I was wrong or that you're wrong?
You.
Okay. Jeez. Whatever. Well, anyway, there's a new Disney project happening on Disney Plus, of course. It's coming to Disney Plus. Everything's going to be on Disney Plus soon.
Yeah.
It's about Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Do you know who they are?
Yeah.
No, not Chewbacca.
Isn't that like, they do a really good song. It's like, coming at your mama. You know? You know it? Do you know the song I'm singing? It's like,
coming at your mama.
Can you picture that? Can you picture that?
Are you getting that in the Fraggle Rock theme song confused?
No, it's from the Muppet movie when they're driving down. And it's like, there's like a guy on a saxophone.
Yeah.
It's like, bom, 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 bom. You don't know this?
Coming at
Mr.
your mama.
Mr. Big Muppet fan.
I'm stuck on coming at your mama.
Well, it's something. I don't think that's actually the words, but it's all I could think of right there. I don't know lyrics.
Okay. Well, anyways, you got it right. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, they are the house band for the Muppet Show. And they have Janice the hippie. And she's like, oh, wow, man. You know, and then Animal, of course, is the drummer.
Is there a blue guy with sunglasses?
There's a blue guy, Zoot. He's the saxophone player.
Wow, you know their names?
Of course you know their names. You got to know their names.
You are a big Muppets fan, aficionado. So what, this new show is going to be specifically about Dr. Teeth?
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it, honestly. It's called The Muppets Mayhem, which is a series focusing on Muppet Show house band Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Dr. Teeth himself, Floyd, Janice, Zoot, and Animal as they try to record a platinum-selling album. Apparently there's not like a whole lot of information out of it, but someone called Anders Holm and Sara Chowdhury have joined the previously cast Lily Singh and Taj Mowry, with all of them apparently playing humans. So there you go. Singh is playing a, quote, driven young music executive trying to guide the old school Muppet band through the current day music scene. Chowdhury is playing the younger sister of Singh's character, who is arguably more accomplished because of her social media prowess and huge fan following. Holm will be a reoccurring guest star as the ex-boyfriend of Singh's character, formerly sheepish, nerdy intern turned uber cool tech entrepreneur who hopes to win his ex back. And that sort of, all of that just killed it for me. All of that sounds like played out. It's like from 2012, and I just really don't care. I mean, you can sort of see how this would be put together. Like, here's a social media, you know, influencer with a fan following, and they're going to try to like help promote the thing. And it's like, so probably going to be a lot of like selfie videos, like, okay, everybody, we're here with the, you know what I mean? And it's just going to be, it seems like a played out trope, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it is a bit of a trope. I think they're going to try to make a joke of like, it's going to be all about like anachronism, right? Like, these guys are stuck in history, and mm-hmm. then they don't get like what's going on with all this new stuff.
Let's bully them into auto-tune, basically. We're going to auto-tune them into the current vibe. So if they don't do like a single with like Future, then I'm going to be mad.
Who's Future?
He's a rapper.
Okay. Well, I just hope that in this scenario, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem sort of are the heroes.
I think,
like,
so.
I don't want it to be that they get shown up by these tech people.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be like their old school charm sort of wins the modern fan base over, which has also been played out for years. And I don't know. I'll still watch it, of course, because I'll give anything Muppety a chance, except the Jason Segel, Tina Fey nonsense, of course. But, you know, it also sounds a lot like there's not a whole lot of like Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem. It's not a lot of Muppets. There's a lot of people doing stuff. I don't know, man. It seems like hopefully they have the right balance of that, because you do need some humans in there and, you know, whatever. But hopefully it's not going to be too human skewed. I don't want that either. But I'm excited for it, sort of, even though I probably just said I'm not really that excited. I don't know, man. It's just like the tech entrepreneur. Who writes characters like that anymore? That's very 2015. That is done.
The other thing is I think that the people who live in California and write these stories think that everyone in America can relate to someone who is a tech entrepreneur. Like, that's not a thing everywhere.
Right.
But it's like, if you watch TV, like, that's everybody's job. Everybody's in social media, everybody, but like actual people are out there making and selling stuff, like real things, you know? But like, I think that a lot of the young writers in California have like a distorted view of what the rest of the world is actually up to. But I guess this band is in the music industry, so maybe it is more connected to that. I don't know. I just feel like we don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, here's a little more background. Chaudhry will star in the series' regular role of Hannah, Nora's younger and arguably more accomplished sister, raised in the era of likes, shares, and the idea that if it wasn't posted, it didn't happen. Hannah translated her e-acumen and the talent for enthusiastic and aspirational makeup videos into a burgeoning social media empire, complete with a legion of fan-a-Hannahs. Her success has unfortunately upended her dynamic with Nora. This sounds terrible. Really, makeup tutorials? Because she's a woman, she has to do makeup tutorials. That's it. She can't do anything else. And like, why? Like, what? Why are we exploring this dynamic? This show is about Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. It's not about the people behind it. Whatever. Whatever.
Who needs a makeup tutorial? Like, it's not like I see a bunch of women walking around looking like clowns. Like, they're all figuring it out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't like it.
Yeah. And also, that's not like burgeoning.
I know. It's been, you know, it's so like, it's so saturated that, you know, Taryn and I, we love America's Funniest Videos. We watch AFE all the time. Love
it
so much.
It's still on?
Oh, my God. Still on. Yeah. With Alfonso Ribeiro now. Ribeiro, whatever. It's great. It's still just, you know, still what it is, and it's fun to put on and, you know, zone out for a little bit.
Sure.
But there, the amount of like kids recording themselves doing makeup tutorials and then something goes wrong and it gets on the air. Like this one girl won like $10,000 by doing this makeup tutorial. And arguably it was sort of kind of funny, I guess, because she had like lipstick on her face, and then she tried to get it off by like drooling and tilting her head so it ran. I don't know. So it was funny, but the kid's 3 years old, and it's like, what? Like how does, or maybe even four, how does a child know a makeup tutorial? Why does a child, why are they emulating this? I don't understand. But that's how ubiquitous, I guess, or that's how saturated everybody is with makeup tutorials. It's a common thing. It's not that you're not going to launch a social media empire on makeup tutorials. At this point, it just sounds stupid.
Well, I just hope my Instagram isn't listening, because tomorrow I'm probably going to be flooded with makeup tutorials.
I hope so. I hope that for you. Hope that for both
and
of us.
We're going to do the test, because I have never had one come up. I don't like, that's not a thing that comes up in my feed. If there's one tomorrow, I'm going to kill you, but I'll post it.
That's not how it works. The phone's not listening to you.
It 100% is listening to me.
It's not.
It is.
It's not. I guarantee it. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. I just don't know enough to tell you how you're wrong. But let's take a quick break, Jeremy. Great. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back with more news on Ears Up In Depth. We'll be right back.
In Depth, reporting Disney news that's probably not made up.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. All right, Jerry, what do you got for us?
They wanted a proposal in front of the castle, but this cast member decided these guests he would hassle.
Okay, better than the other one.
I love that these are just up for your scrutiny now.
Of course they are. We've evolved into that. I'm ready.
Disneyland Paris came under fire last week after a video surfaced of a cast member interrupting a marriage proposal. I'm on a big Disney wedding kick today.
You really are.
What's going on?
I don't know, man.
You know what's going to happen?
What? You're going to get married?
My phone's going to show me Disney wedding stuff tomorrow.
Shut up. That's not how it works. Your phone is not listening to you. It is not how it works.
Don't you listen to this. The worker ushered the couple off a platform. Like it was like a stage in front of the castle where the proposal was about to take place, but not without snatching the engagement ring from the guy's hand.
How, like, the most un-Disney thing that you could imagine ever happening to you.
It's so un-Disney.
That is very bad. That is very bad optics.
In a viral video clip, a Disney employee can be seen jumping between the happy couple and snatching the ring from the man, causing lots of confusion.
Because
the guy sort of stood there. He was like, is this, like, I think he thought it was maybe like a gimmick or a joke or something like that. But the guy runs down the stairs of the platform and sort of motions to them, you have to come down, like, come down off there. And then the guy proposing, you know, asked for the ring back. According to the account that posted the video, so take with this a grain of salt, we don't know, but the couple had sought permission prior to the attempted proposal, yet it was still interrupted by this seemingly uninformed cast member. Of course, this went viral as well, and a chorus of opinions overtook social media with a surprisingly divided set of opinions.
Divided. Okay, let's go. Let's hear how we were divided on this, because there's really only one way that you should think about this.
Oh, look at you telling us what to think.
Absolutely. That's what my job is.
Of course, there were many, such as yourself, who castigated the cast member for ruining the special moment.
Absolutely.
But there were several voices defending Disney.
Oh, God.
I told you, there are people who, some of these people have Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Twitter account Chob Baycheck said, leave these people alone. They're the salt of the earth.
One person commented, quote, as an ex-Disney employee, gotta say, this dude did everything right. I'm sad for the couple, but you have no clue of the consequences he might have faced if the proposal kept going in there. The employees handled it exactly as they train us to do.
Oh, stop it. They don't train you to snatch a ring from someone's hand like a child.
I'm telling you, I experienced it this week. If you go after Disney, these cast members will swarm you like a swarm of angry bees. It's like throwing a baseball at a beehive. And they're all delusional. Another person commented, the dude... Also, we're only referring to this guy as a dude on Twitter, apparently. Like, everybody's a dude. The dude who interrupted the Disney proposal is the perfect example of someone taking their job too seriously. I doubt he gets paid enough to do that anyway, and I think it's almost guaranteed that he's going to get fired. Mm-hmm. He literally snatched the ring out of the dude's hand. SMH.
Salt my hamburger.
Did you just make that up just now?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're so quick.
I'm funny. Funny guy.
Even former Disney CFO Tom Staggs weighed in with a tweet that I believe said, like, it was like, what the hell, or WTF. I saw it, but then he deleted it. And so now I only remember the gist of what it was.
Okay.
So that's gone, but it was really incredulous and I loved it. Disney did release an apology via Newsweek, stating, we regret how this was handled. We have apologized to the couple involved and have offered to make it right.
Oh, but I thought that the cast member handled it exactly the way that they were trained.
Hey, don't fight with these cast members. They will come after you.
Good. Bring them on. I don't care.
They all have zero followers. It's all very weird. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, we don't know if the employee involved has been terminated or disciplined, but that's what happened. The proposal was snafu happened in front of that castle.
Snatch-poo. I mean, like, even if you're in the wrong place, wrong time, if you're trying to prevent this from happening, you don't snatch the ring. You go up and, like, you know, before it's you interrupt them somehow, or you just go, okay, we just got to let it go. Okay, go. You guys can't do this. Go. Get out of here. To grab the ring like some petulant child. I'm surprised they didn't throw it into the water.
Well, one of the things that Disney used to teach was the phrase surprise and delight. This was a surprise, but this is not delightful. And I think, like, they've completely lost that. There's no surprise and delight left.
I mean, to be fair, they asked for permission and they were granted the permission, but this cast member didn't know about it.
Right. But I'm also not sure, because...
I mean, it's all one side, right?
Yeah, and Disney's pretty by the book about this kind of thing. Like, if they were going to be up there and Disney was going to give them permission to do it, I would think that there'd probably be somebody standing by.
Yeah, I guess I'm sort of even confused on where it was. Just on, like, a platform that was there for something else and these people on top of it?
Yeah, it seems to be on a stage in front of the castle. This is one of those situations where I love, where I get to hate everyone, because I do think, like... why are you up there? Don't go up there. Yeah. Just like, again, right. Self-indulgent narcissistic behavior. We're going to be up here and do it. Like, just do it on the ground.
Yeah,
like,
so we can be out of the way. Yeah, so everyone can see, or we can get pictures right. without people in the background or some dumb right. stuff like that. Yeah. And
so I hate them. Hate them. I also think, but this cast member, these cast members, there, some of them are definitely on a power trip. And this guy is an example of that. So
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, speaking of power trips, Jeremy.
Tell me. No, oh, that's what I pulled my computer into.
A power trip?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all, nice. All my things well, now you're going to get ads for it.
The power strip.
Oh, yeah, I know. In a major executive shakeup, Peter Rice, chairman of Disney's entertainment and programming, is exiting the company. Sources say embattled Disney CEO Bob Chapek summoned Rice to his office Monday and relieved the former Fox executive of his duties. The CEO, who took over for Bob Iger last year, is said to have felt that Rice was no longer a fit. The dismissal took place in a seven-minute meeting Monday evening, according to sources. Chapek told Rice that he was not a fit in the, quote, new Disney culture, to which Rice
said...
What is
the new Disney culture? Cheapness and bad show? Like, right. what's going
on? You don't
on?
Fit in. You look too good. Doesn't fit into the Disney culture, to which Rice said words to the effect that he thought that they were in the midst of building the new Disney culture. He asked in what way he did not fit in, and Chapek responded, "Now is not the time," and dismissed him.
If not now, when? Are you going to send me a note in 30 days?
I know, right?
Perhaps the time to talk about someone's development isn't the day that they're getting fired. Maybe you should have brought this up 6 months ago.
Exactly. Said, hey, well, here's the shocker part of it. The move comes as a shocker, as a surprise, considering Chapek re-upped Rice to a new long-term deal just last summer.
Sources so he was part of the Disney culture then.
That's right. Sources say Rice has more than 2 years remaining on his contract, which they have to then buy out. So he's going to get a nice fat paycheck, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Rice's top lieutenant, Dana Walden, who also made the move from Fox to Disney, will be taking over his responsibilities. Chapek announced the news in a memo to staff on Thursday. In part, it reads, quote, "Dana is a dynamic, collaborative leader and cultural force who in just 3 years has transformed our television business into a content powerhouse that consistently delivers the entertainment audiences crave," Chapek said in a statement Thursday morning. "Her well-earned reputation for championing creative talent and developing program that truly captures the cultural zeitgeist has resulted in hit after hit from ABC's Abbott Elementary," never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
"And Onyx Collective's Academy Award-winning Summer of Soul," never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
"To Hulu originals like Only Murders in the Building," which I haven't seen, I have heard of. That's with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah.
"Dope Sick," which I have heard of as well. "The Dropout," haven't heard of it. "And The Kardashians." Thank you. Oh, thank you so much for giving us more of The Kardashians.
She didn't come up with The Kardashians. They've been around for 20 years.
I know, but they just got like a new TV deal or something like that.
I can tell you to watch The Dropout. It's so good.
What's it about?
Elizabeth Holmes. Theranos.
Oh, I think Taryn's watching that.
Yeah.
She and Peter have worked closely together for years to create the best programming in the industry, and I can think of no one better than Dana to lead Disney General Entertainment to even greater heights. And this is a statement from Walden. She says, "It's an incredible honor to be asked to lead this amazingly talented team. They truly are the best in every respect, and I am grateful to Bob for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Disney General Entertainment's culture of creative excellence and originality has made us home to many of the most talented creators in the business. I'm humbled to lead this team, and I am confident that together we will continue to build on the foundation of culture-defining entertainment we have achieved so far." Culture-defining, like The Kardashians. Love it. I love vapid dummies talking about makeup. I love it so much. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you very much, Dana Walden, for giving us more Kardashians. Only 2 weeks ago, Rice stood on stage at Disney's television upfront presentation and introduced his boss to Grey's Anatomy lead Ellen Pompeo and other ABC stars, looking for all the world like jovial colleagues. While Rice was a Fox veteran who was not part of Chapek's longtime I don't even know what that friggin' word is, dude. Who writes this? Who did I steal this from? Longtime, group or something. I don't know, whatever, man. The two worked closely in the past 2 years to build a relationship. So the shock this week was all the more jarring. Outside observers were quick to note that in firing Rice, the 61-year-old Chapek has removed his single most potent threat to replace him as CEO. This is what I've been reading in a couple of these articles, that a lot of people were tagging Rice to replace Chapek. And in fact, when Iger was saying that he was going to step down one of the 12 times that he did, people were expecting Rice to be named as his successor. And they were kind of shocked that Chapek was.
Meanwhile, it doesn't count him out. They can bring a CEO in from outside.
Yes, they can, actually. With Disney stock down nearly 44% from its 52-week high and Chapek's current contract up in less than a year, many saw the move as a classic power play, and not a very subtle one at that. Chapek is nervous about his future, and he understood this was a big move, one veteran producer in Disney explained. Quote, "The whole thing looks bad to me," a former top Disney executive added. Among the oddities in the abrupt change is that Chapek gave no proximate cause either of performance or corporate misbehavior by Rice, which has fed the power play theory. The speculation was also rampant inside Disney, where Chapek was questioned repeatedly by executives as to the reason for his decision, according to two insiders. But with Rice's exit, there are no names among Disney's senior executive leadership that jump out as prospective challengers to Chapek's throne. And Disney has not named an outsider CEO since tapping Paramount president Michael Eisner and former Warner Brothers chair Frank Wells to jointly lead the company back in 1984.
I know they say like since, but it's two CEOs ago. It's like not that quick.
While multiple insiders suggested that Chapek's unsure footing atop Disney played a key role in his decision, a cultural divide within Disney may have also contributed to the move. Rice is known as a stealth player, one who finds deft ways to sidestep controversy. One former executive who clashed with Rice described him as, quote, opaque and untrustworthy. It's unclear if Chapek shared that view, but it is noteworthy that the press release announcing Walden's promotion did not include the traditional acknowledgement of her predecessor or even thanked Rice for his contributions to the company. Others suggested that Rice's downfall may have stemmed from his perceived defense of more traditional distribution models like Disney's broadcast and cable networks, and that he didn't fully embrace Chapek's push for a streaming-first strategy. An individual with knowledge of Rice's thinking disputed that he pushed back on the company's streaming initiatives, distribution decisions, whether to send shows to Disney's traditional channels or to put them on streaming services, were handed to Kareem Daniel, who runs a division called Disney Media and Entertainment Distribution. The structure created tensions between Rice and Daniel, a longtime Chapek deputy, according to people familiar with the matter who were not authorized to comment publicly. So, it depends on what side of the fence you want to fall on this. Do you think Chapek is hedging his bets and sort of, you know, digging in his heels for the long run and firing anybody who he thinks he can take over for him very easily? Or is he going, you know what, Rice is not on board with the streaming first. We're pushing streaming. He's not on board. He's pushed back. He's got to go. I can't talk to him anymore. He's got to go. I don't know.
They characterize Rice as opaque and untrustworthy. You know what else strikes me as opaque and untrustworthy? Renewing someone's contract, firing them without cause, mm-hmm. or without even explanation.
Yeah. Seems, well, the explanation was you didn't fit in. I agree. I think that was very, very poopy, for lack of a better term. That is not very churro-like over here.
It isn't. I have to tend to side with I can't remember the former or the latter. Which one was the one where Chapek is trying to get rid of all of his competition?
The former.
Yeah, because there was a lot of speculation that that was what caused Staggs to leave. That, you know, Chapek somehow did him dirty and he was like, I'm not waiting around forever. And Chapek, I read that today, actually. So I don't know. This guy doesn't seem like a very good guy. He kind of seems like a monster, actually.
I mean, it is weird, and it does seem like we're not getting – it's so surprising which lends me to believe that we're not getting all of the information. And I know I've been a Chapek apologist before, especially on this show, but and I'm not trying to be that, but it does seem like, what else are we missing? Because you're right. Who's going to do that in a career as long as Chapek's has been and as high, you know, focal point, right? He's in the public eye a lot. Why would you open yourself up to something like this, especially within the company that's already sort of unstable? Why would you do that unless there's reason? There has to be good enough reason to, you know, something has to have happened between when they renewed his contract and when he got fired. But to not explain that to him at the firing, supposedly, I don't know. It seems just too weird. I don't understand it. For like a high profile company like Disney, it doesn't seem like something that you would do.
Well, it also seems like he has a perfectly legitimate, if it's true, he has a perfectly legitimate business reason. So, you know, you don't seem to be following with the vision of streaming. Perhaps this isn't the best place for you because our strategy is this. You're not aligned with our strategy. But that's not what he said, even though that actually sounds like a perfectly reasonable reason for someone to part ways. Instead, he says you're not a cultural fit. Yeah. And then when he says how, he says, not telling.
Yeah, I can't
tell. Like, who is running this company?
Now is not the time. I don't want to get into it. Yeah.
Why doesn't he have a time? I don't know. Like, that's
the whole thing took seven minutes.
These don't actually scream of like particularly strong managerial skills.
No, I agree with that. 100%. But there you go. That's what's going on. The latest in a rash of firings and quittings.
Well, and then like within the same 24-hour period, the board came out and with a statement of confidence in Bob Chapek.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. So, and Chapek has, what, 8 months is what I said, I think, left on his contract. I wonder if he's going to be renewed or not.
I mean, I feel like a statement of confidence from the board is like when you see two people who are in a relationship post how great they are on each other's Facebook pages for all to see. It's like, what are you overcompensating for? And then they're like divorced in a year. Like that's this. Or it's like people who have to tell you how cool they are. It's like, you don't need to tell me if you really are.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that definitely seemed like, look, we have to support Bob, but we're not going to vote to renew his contract or however that works. You know what I mean? It's like, well, we're sort of stuck. We don't want to look like the jerks. In case something turns around in 8 months, like we want to placate the CEO for the next 8 months and then his contract isn't going to be renewed and that's going to be it.
Oh, man, this is going to be a nail biter of an 8 months.
I hope he makes it. I hope he comes back better than ever.
Of course you do. You're terrible. Why are you trying to ruin Disney?
It's already ruined, man.
Well, I don't want it to go to the ash heap of history. I would like someone to come back and rejuvenate it.
Yeah, I mean, sure. But who?
You know, I want what's behind me back.
Yeah, but
Spectro Magic.
Who's going to have it? Who's going to bring that?
Tom Staggs.
Okay, there you go. Because Iger didn't. Iger didn't really do much.
No, and I wasn't an Iger fan.
Yeah.
I hated Iger.
I guess it's sort of what I mean. Like, there's no CEO that's a perfect fit. Every CEO is going to do something that people don't like.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
any leader of anything is always remembered by some of their worst mistakes. Chapek just seems to have a lot more than most. And he's only in his first term.
Well, that's true.
But you love him.
I do. He's my best friend. He's a friend of the show.
I can't stand that you defend him so much.
Good friend of the podcast, Bob Chapek. All right, what do you got, Jeremy? You want to tell me a story? You want to tell your story?
Well, you know, it sort of relates to this.
Okay.
I haven't been to the parks in a while. And then this past weekend I went. And on Saturday we went to Animal Kingdom. And I was like, you know what? This park is really great. Like there are still good theme parks in the Disney sphere, you know? Like Animal Kingdom is just so well done and for the most part it's holding up. And we go on Expedition Everest. And we took a really great picture, like coming down, there were four of us and like, we're going, you know, they take the picture when you're going down the drop and we saw it on the screen and it was like, oh, let's get it. So I take my magic band and I'm like, boop, And then I look at the photo in the app, and it's got this watermark all over it, like if you want to purchase. And I was like, what the hell is this about? Like I have PhotoPass. Like it comes with my annual pass.
Okay.
Not anymore. Yeah. They took that away. You have to buy it. It's $99 a year now.
Wow.
And I was just kind of like, you know, I feel a little fleeced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually I kind of would rather them say we're raising the price of the annual pass and just keep the benefits rather than be like, we're not raising it as much. And now you have to pay for these things you used to have that were included. Like, just bamboozle me. I know it's all a shell game and you're getting my money somehow. Actually, you're not, because I'm not buying PhotoPass. I can live without that picture. But it right. was a nice bonus.
Yes. Right.
That doesn't really cost them much.
I mean, I wonder how many of these dumb photos they even sell. I have never seen anybody. Well, correction. And maybe you've seen a couple of people, but the vast majority of people do not buy those.
Oh, no. People walk past it.
Right. So what are they, you know, they're just squeezing more money out of the turnip or whatever.
Well, so I was all miffed. But then I got over it. We had a fabulous meal at Tiffin's, whatever. But the next day we were like, let's all go back to a park today. But in the afternoon, my friends had like to watch the Rangers game and whatever. So I was like, well, this will be perfect. We had a big dinner last night. Why don't we just go over to Epcot in the evening and we'll just hit a couple food booths, have a beer, and we'll call it a day. Like, it's a perfect little Sunday night evening.
Yeah. Sounds good to me, dude.
Right. So we make the reservation. And a notice comes up on the screen. It says, just so you know, Epcot is closing an hour early tonight at 8 o'clock. And there will not be a showing of Harmonious. Okay. I'm like, that doesn't matter. I can get in and out in 2 hours and hit a couple booths. Even better. I'll be in bed earlier on a Sunday night.
Right. And you don't have to watch Harmonious.
And Epcot's perfect when you take that crap out of there. So we go over, and I haven't been there in a while. I went a little earlier than my friends, and because I was like, oh, I haven't seen Connections Cafe. Let me check out some of the new stuff. So I like go over by myself, and I'm, you know, kind of making my way around World Showcase, and nothing at the booth was really scratching me where I itched. I get around to the American Adventure in the far back.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be 6 o'clock. The park is closing at 8. It's 6 o'clock. I go up to the food booth. They're like, oh, sorry, we're closed. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, well, you know, we're closing early tonight. And I said, I know, but that's in 2 hours. You need 2 hours to close this thing down. I don't understand it. Because there's always the story about how Walt saw someone closing a popcorn machine down 20 minutes early in Disneyland and was like, no. Mm-hmm. You keep that thing full until this is over, because this isn't just about selling popcorn. This is about show. Right. It can't look like it's not fully running. Okay.
Right.
But we can close down. So I keep going and I'm like, oh, you know, maybe that's just that one. Let me keep moving. Japan's closed. Morocco. Everything's closed. I get to France. They've got these like things up where they're not letting and cast members stopping people from coming. So like I could continue on, but no one could go where I was because they're shutting down World Showcase.
Okay.
And I hear them telling people like, oh, so sorry, but from France all the way to Mexico, World Showcase is closed now. It's 6 o'clock. And people are like, what? What are you talking about? Like, they even had like a security guard posted there. Can get a little testy.
Sure.
Not that anyone really did. But I parked myself right by there. I was like, let's just watch this for a while. Because like, it's just, you just have to watch them keep telling people over and over and watch people get like really angry and walk away. I was like, this is fun. So one, I want it to that. I think that already demonstrates that I'm not the only person who didn't realize this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a picture and I tweet it. And I said, you know, Disney did tell us that Epcot was closing tonight at 8 o'clock. What they didn't tell us was that more than half of World Showcase would be closing at 6. So, and all the food booths, even the ones not in World Showcase, are all closed. And then, and also cast members were like, well, you can go to France and you can go to Canada and United Kingdom. Well, sure you can, but all the festival booths were closed. So what am I doing in Canada without a festival booth? Looking at the totem poles? Like, come on. There's nothing going on in there. So now I'm a little angry because I haven't been in a while. Yesterday, you screwed me over with this PhotoPass crap. Today, you're closing the park. Also, at 6:20 p.m., I should not be hungry in Epcot. Of all places, it should be a place to get food. Right. There's no place to get food in this place. So I tweet the picture, and people, there was a lot of my normal followers were like, that stinks. Like, oh, that's so stupid. Why didn't Disney Plus? A large constituency of what I perceive to be cast members, well, because I looked through their profiles and I'm like, these are freaking cast members, came after me like, you should have done your research. The park sent out a push notification to your iPhone. People are screenshotting the push notification. I'm like, well, I didn't get the push notification, but I'm not saying that the push notification was wrong. I'm saying when I booked, the warning said the park was closing at 8, but it didn't say that World Showcase was closing at 6. And even if it did, even if you're right that it said that, why are the Future World food booths closed?
Yeah. People were coming after you. I read through some of those comments.
Oh, it was nasty. Someone told me I'm a slave driver.
What does that even mean?
Because they're all sick. Okay.
You want people to work the time that you thought that they would be there? It's like you're asking them to work overtime. Right. It's like you're a tour. The worst thing that ever happened to me working at Starbucks, because Starbucks was very much like that. Like, you have everything running, coffee pots full. You know, your bean machine's ready to dispense espresso at any moment up until the closing time. You cannot close the bar early. You cannot get rid of the mochas early just because you want to go home. Everything has to be operational until close. We closed at, it was probably, I don't know, 10 o'clock. 9:50, a tour bus pulls up in the parking lot. 50 people get out and want coffees. Got to serve them. And so we're working there for like an hour afterwards. We're supposed to be closed, and you can't lock the door either. You can't lock them in. So you're like,
more people will come in.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that sucks, but that's part of the job. That's what the job entails, because the posted hours are 10 o'clock. It's posted hours.
That's my thing is, why am I the guest wrong for wanting the park to stay open?
Why you're a slave driver, because you want people to work. Yeah.
Because I was 6:30 and I wanted a bite to eat at Epcot.
Yeah, at a place where people go for food.
It's all they have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my story. I'm a little miffed. I'm a little angry at Disney. I definitely was. I mean, when it was started, when my friend showed up, I said, you guys, like, I don't think I can do this. I said, I think I'm just like, because it was like they got there and they were like, well, let's go to the Rose and Crown. Let's try. Like, you know, we'll get a drink in there. It'll be okay. And I was like, you know what? I'm just sick of being screwed over. Like, I just want to go home. Like, I would rather just make a dirty martini and sit on my terrace. Like, I'm angry in this place. Mm. And I don't want to give them any more of my money. They're screwing me over. They hosed me 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
But Rose and Crown won and I went.
And did you have fun?
Yeah, and then we went. Okay. What we did was we ended up going over and having dinner at Olivia's at Old Key West Resort, which is a fantastic meal, by the way. So if you ever want to go there for a good meal, go to Olivia's.
Do it.
Just do it. Don't even fret. So that's my whole thing.
All right. Well, that sucks, so man.
It sucks. I mean, look, it could be worse.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. I could have worse problems.
Absolutely. But I probably have most of them.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that I should get what I pay for.
You know, it's not. And it's funny because our friend, former Imagineer Kyle, wrote to me and was like, I have a story for you. Basically, he was like, here, I'll just read it. Because it sort of goes in line, I think, with what you're trying to say. He goes, we got in line for Falcon, which is Smuggler's Run. It had a posted wait of 15 minutes. About 30 minutes into the wait, they made an announcement that they had minor technical difficulties and are expecting to be back up and running shortly, with no readmits or offer to assist you if you wanted to leave. At 40 minutes in, they started making announcements that due to technical difficulties, if you are waiting in the standby queue, your wait will be considerably longer than the original estimate. The words standby queue, guests only, was said several times. We ended up waiting an hour and 15 minutes. Meanwhile, they were letting fast passes on instantly the whole time. And he got frustrated and wrote a whole article for me that I don't know what to do with. I might read it on the next show instead of post it, because I think it'd be fun to talk about. But it's called 14 Reasons Why You Shouldn't Visit Disneyland Today.
That story reminds me of something a friend of mine told me. She was at Disneyland recently. I don't think it was for Smuggler's Run, but she was in line for something that was Lightning Lane. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a similar situation where maybe it broke down for a bit or whatever. And they made an announcement and they said, don't worry, if you're one of our Lightning Lane guests, we're going to get you on as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, so now I'm a second class citizen. I've never felt so unwelcome in this horrible place.
Well, and so, and there's a couple things. So I passed out around a couple of cast members, and like, that's sort of typical of what they, even when fast passes were free, that's what you do. If a ride breaks down, you clear the fast pass line first, because technically they've been waiting longer, which is the point of the fast pass, right? It's a line reservation.
Yeah.
So that I sort of get, but the concept, and this is what Kyle was getting to, is exactly what your friend just said. He's like, they treat their guests as if they're in different classes. And then he talks about like posting 3 a.m. you know, reservations that sell out instantly and all this kind of stuff. They make it really hard. Disney is making it very hard to visit their parks and to have a good time with all of the stuff that you want to do. It's a park built around nostalgia. But you can't have the same things you used to have because of these new systems that are in place to make it difficult for you. And I don't understand what that, I don't understand why. I don't understand why the reservations. I just don't get it. I don't get any of it.
Well, it's like someone tweeted this week, your Genie Plus goes on sale at midnight, but you make the reservations at 7 a.m. That's the system. Stay up until midnight and then set the alarm for 6:50 so that you can get your reservation. That's the plan, that someone laid that out. And the person tweeted like, are you guys saying these things out loud before you implement them? Because like, this is, what are you doing? Like,
there's a lot of weird little kerfuffles. Like Disney blasted out some sort of call to be on a panel to give them feedback on the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser.
Okay.
But the headline said that it was in Disneyland. Like the headline of the email, like the title of the email was referencing Disneyland, not Disney World. It's just these little things.
Oh, because
like,
the Galactic Cruiser is in Florida.
Is in Florida,
sorry.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What's the...
And it's like, what are you guys, like, this is the simplest thing. How do you screw this up? What is happening?
Well, Bob Chapek confused Disney World and Disneyland. He didn't know that one was the happiest place on earth and one was the most magical.
Yeah, but he's, look, man, he's under a lot of
pressure. The fish rots from the head down.
He's under a lot of pressure. You know, let's.
You know what? So was their marketing and research team. They're under pressure, Jace.
Not as much as Bobby.
You are such a.
Oh, I love it so much.
Wow.
Oops, wrong one. There we go. All right, Jared, let's get out of here, home. Are you not talking to me now? Okay, you're dancing.
Oh, sorry, it was DJ.
That's all right, man. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Check out all of our other shows over on earsup-podcast.com. I know there's a new Bantha Milk, I think, coming. Bantha Milk, by the way, every week they are doing companion episodes to Obi-Wan Kenobi TV show. So if you miss one, or you want to know a little bit about more of the Easter eggs you missed, or those guys' take on what's going on over there in the world of Obi-Wan, check that out as well. Of course, the Supreme Resort has new episodes all the time. And, you know, like that. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you in the parks.